This is CliffCentral.com.
This is Kwela Deza.
And you're listening to Delighted with Rami and Romeo on CliffCentral.
If you smoke like I smoke, then you're high like every day. And if your ass is a buster, 213 will wake you late.
It's a Monday, and we are here.
Hey, Bwana, we're grooving to some awesome track.
Yeah.
Eh?
Warren G.
The regularly. Things we do in the studio that you'll never get to see.
Yeah, of course, because it's a Monday. That's how we roll.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, beautiful listeners. It's a Monday morning, and you are here with Rami
I
and
actually
Romeo
thought you were
going to
say, good morning, beautiful Romeo. You know, I was actually waiting for... Like, stop hating.
Palisa, your work is technical. A minute in, what? And you're just like...
No, but why is Palisa refusing? Like, can't I feel beautiful?
No.
Can't a man feel beautiful?
We don't care how you feel. We don't care how
this
you feel.
This is abuse and power. Let me not give away our guest details. I nearly did. I'm feeling abused right now.
It doesn't matter.
Good morning, Ramster.
Hey, how's it, my Ramster?
I love the weave. You know, you're looking awesome. Since this weave, you know,
Hey, don't even go there because I have like the most perfect skin. But I've got a pimple today. You
Where?
Know, like here.
Ah, love pimple.
But you know, I always... Oh yeah, maybe I think
love
it is.
Pimple.
Yo, ooh,
don't hate
so
on
nice.
That pimple.
But I like, you know, when I've got, if I get a pimple, I keep touching it because I'm not used to having pimples. So I keep touching it. They're like, oh, sorry, it's war. Are you going to make it worse? I'm like, I know.
Yeah, no, yeah, but you must leave it there. Because it's a love pimple. Remember, we've been on this trail to say Project Rami Get a Man.
Yeah, but I don't know how that's going, eh?
No one is pimple is a good sign.
No, but then I don't want to be talking to a pimple. If you know what I mean. I don't want to be talking to a pimple. Can like the real guy show up already?
Yeah, Pela, you understand how Meroko we run on a obviously. You kind of like, you have taken your Rami scary game to the next level.
And oh yeah, ne? That
yes.
is so true.
You see?
But I think I'll find I think I'll find some guy who's very fearless, who's not afraid of me. But you know what has been happening?
Yeah.
I've been getting calls from people that haven't spoken
seen
to
seen you in a while because yes.
In years.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
And then you answer the phone's like, hi baby. And you're like, huh? Which one are you? can you identify yourself by the year?
Yeah.
Are you 2000? Are you 96?
You should actually say, what's your Instagram name?
Yeah, hey,
and then you go there, you see the pictures.
Hey, they're like, ah, baby, you don't remember me? I'm like, no, I don't even have your number.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, remember. Hey, this guy called me last night. He was like, I want to take you out for lunch, man. Mm. I'm begging you. I'm
really? Like, okay.
I don't know. You said, no. You know me. Remember we met? I'm like, yo, Abuto. I was like, listen, I'm actually in church. Can I talk to you later? And I hung up. No, I wasn't in church. But I think he knew I was lying because the TV was on, you know?
You could have been listening to TD Jakes.
Hey, you are right, actually. Yeah, so I was in church. I think it was OPW, like. It was number playing. And yeah, and
so much for a church.
They were busy swearing in the background, you know. I was like, I'm in church.
Yeah. But talk about progressive church.
Yeah, but you know me. Mm. You know me, I wake up crazy. Today, I woke up and I decided, you know what? I'm going to wear my wedding ring. And I did. Okay, I went on the other finger. No, can I tell you the story about my wedding ring? It's because I designed it myself and I picked out my stones. And it's a beautiful, beautiful ring, and I felt like wearing it today. I don't know why. So,
okay,
yeah.
We tell a lot.
No, not even.
No,
not
I got
even.
A project. Project Get Rami a Man.
No. Project Get Rami a Man is not necessarily saying like I want to like marry somebody. No, not yet. Anyway. Mm. Not yet, anyway. But yeah,
that's
I was.
That's a topic for another day.
Yeah, it's a topic for another. So I'm thinking, yes. Look how beautiful it looks.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm like, I deserve this.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, of course it's mine. I deserve it. So
you've deserved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. Yeah. Okay. And I picked out all the stones and I had it designed nicely. I knew exactly what I wanted. So, yeah, I decided to wear it. And yes, then I'm wearing the other one. That is not a wedding ring on my actual wedding ring finger.
Sure.
Yeah.
Otherwise, so good week. Busy
good week.
As always.
It's been, what a taxing week, guys, that we've had. I mean, starting from. The Saturday Dumananas incident, guys. And Yeah, and but that is also another topic for another day. Mm-hmm. I mean, from my side of things, it's not for radio.
Mm.
And since that Saturday, everything just went south, you know. And
sunny south or gloomy south?
No, more like gloomy south, you know, because right. then we had a whole lot of other incidents coming up.
Mm.
And also, we buried Dumi Masilela on Saturday. Yes. Yo,
yeah, I go to Ausmeri's funeral yesterday.
Ish, I didn't even know it was yesterday. I should have gone actually.
So shangwe.
Yeah, ish. Mm. I should have gone.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what it is. But I mean, that's true. I mean, I loved how Simpiwe spoke, you know.
Mm.
And you know,
I hear she sang as well.
Yeah, no, she is. She's always been singing. She's always been singing.
No, I'm saying the courage. You know,
yeah,
courage.
Yeah, she sang as well at the funeral and at the memorial.
Mm.
You know, she's a PK as well. So
I didn't know.
And without sounding funny, her dad doesn't look like a pastor. I don't know what that means, guys. If you know what I mean. He doesn't look like a pastor. He looks absolutely gorgeous.
Mm.
And he's a biker too.
Oh, nice.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he doesn't look his age.
Mm.
Yeah. I keep hearing, I think he's like 52, 53, something there. But
are you
hinting. They're married. He's married. I know both the parents.
Okay,
man. Come now, somebody.
All right.
That's not what I meant. It's
if
not like
journalists are listening, it was just a.
It was just an observation.
Innocent conversation.
Very, very innocent.
Yes.
Innocent.
Mm,
yeah.
Okay.
And I went with Mutodi to the funeral.
Right.
And I was like, I saw Drum Magazine was checking me out. I was like, oh God, don't do it. Don't go there.
Yeah.
I just needed a lift. Yeah, but it was a very emotional funeral, you know, and that boy, you know, the way he died, when he died, all the things that it was, and they kept playing his music as well in church, yeah, but it was good. It was a good funeral, for lack of a better word. The pastor was hilarious.
Mm.
He was crazy in that Dola Koho Restoration Center. No?
Yes.
He's a very funny pastor. Everyone was there in numbers. Anyone you can think of that's on TV was there. People came out in numbers. They did. It was then they had after tears because I couldn't go to after tears. I just felt so old.
Oh.
I was like, yo,
Also, if I can play the devil's advocate as well, is the pain of watching how much love someone gets on their final day on earth, or at their funeral, versus when they are alive.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about musicians whose music gets sold out after they are dead.
Yeah.
You know, you get so it's like, how do we?
No, but I understand. No, but we can't change that. Now I understand it.
I actually saw this thing now. It's called pre-funerals. And it's actually real.
Hey, you have your funeral before the actual funeral.
Yeah, so pre-memorial. You could actually do your own memorial while you are still alive.
Yeah.
So that people can come and tell you what they think of you while you are listening.
But you know what? I've got two answers. The first answer is for people who buy your music after you're gone.
Hmm.
It's a humane thing for you to, it's like someone is all of a sudden trying to hold on to something that's left of you.
Mm.
And that is normal.
Yeah.
So you will sell out. Even if you see how Beyonce is selling.
Mm.
If Beyonce drops dead tomorrow, whatever she sold will not be the same. It will be nothing to compare to post her. Yeah.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
So that's just human nature.
Yeah.
And another thing is that with people coming to show you love and all of that, I think there's some people who would never miss that. For instance, if I drop dead, I won't wonder what people are going to say about me. I know, because I think the people that I associate with, people that I'm involved with, people that I live with, people who know me, they're crazy enough to tell me all their crazy thoughts about me. And I don't mind telling them what I think about them, you know?
Mm.
So it's not like I was like, ish, I wish you could have told. Unless, of course, there's like some brother who's been dying and he's burning inside. That one, get We couldn't spend, you know, the last few days together.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know? But it's fine. I see Kolapa.
Yeah.
But anyway, talking about how the week went and, yeah, and how, oh, gosh. And then there was Sunday. Yesterday, it was another story altogether. You know, the papers, Twitter, social media, it goes crazy. You'll see how many cases we actually have when people come forward to talk about the issues that they have when we talk about gender-based violence. So, which is why today in studio, we've got Nontantla Mokoena. She's the
executive director.
Executive director. Yeah, people opposing women abuse.
Yeah.
And it's pronounced power. As in like Amanda, but it's not. It's not Amanda. It's actually power, but with a P-O-W-A.
Yeah.
Okay? Welcome, Alison Tanta.
Good morning, and thanks for having me.
Yeah. Ma Romeo, what? The way you're just smiling and laughing.
How? No, Pella, you don't know how much I actually love the work that Susan Tanta does.
Yeah.
You know? I'm talking about people who would actually quit a full-time job to go and follow a worthy cause.
Exactly.
You know, to go on a sabbatical, you know, what does sabbatical mean? And they actually say, I'm going on a sabbatical to do something that is more powerful than what I was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. In line with my career, in line with my experience. Now, that is very powerful to me.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to be giggling like a little boy. Yeah, so let's tswarela.
Okay, let's tswarela.
Disclaimer.
Okay, I'm glad. Thank you for the disclaimer, Maromza. Yeah. So when you stumble and you stutter, I know what's your problem.
Yeah. You know how you go gaga over what to me, Dumza Maswana, and you know all the when we bring hot looking guys in the studio, Stevel Mark, and she'll go, that's me today.
But so, have you ever?
Yeah.
Asnandla, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yes, I am so glad that you are here.
Mm-hmm.
I am so glad that you've come to talk to us. We know the work that you're doing. But let's just pretend there is someone not like Romeo. Romeo knows what he's talking about. But there's definitely someone out there who doesn't understand what the organization is about. You know, a lot of people know about power. Mm-hmm. They know, it's people opposing women abuse. But they don't even know what power...
Half the things power does.
Yeah, what are the things that you do? Because people, they just think it's some feminist organization of a bunch of angry women who are trying to see what
in
they can do.
In purple
t-shirts. who are just trying to fight men. And that's not what it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, so can you just take us through a bit and just like...
Power is a feminist organization. We are based in about 7 spaces.
Yeah.
We provide individual counseling and group counseling on a daily basis to survivors of violence. We also have 3 shelters for women who are running away from their abusive partners.
Mm-hmm.
In the shelters, we house them for 3 to 6 months. In our second stage house, we house them for about a year. Okay. These are women who are running away from abusive partners who have threatened to kill them, who have attempted to kill them, and others are women who have just felt that enough is enough. Mm-hmm. I need to break the cycle. I need to protect myself and my kids, so I need to get away. So that's what we do. We also provide support to survivors who go to court.
Yeah.
Who their matter is sitting before a magistrate or a judge, and you find that they are not supported by their family members, mm-hmm. they are not supported by their friends, they are being asked to drop the case because perhaps the person who's the perpetrator is someone who's well known and powerful, mm-hmm. and you find that mm-hmm. there are people, women and men, supporting the perpetrator, but the survivor does not have support. So power comes in to support, to ensure that, you know, she sees the case through. So that's what we provide. We recently closed our legal advice center due to funding. But through... But recently with a collaboration from a few organizations, that is Power, Tswaranang, and a funding organization, Hlanganisa, and the Women's Legal Center, mm-hmm. we have launched a campaign called Ending Impunity, where we are saying a lot of women are... coming to the police to report their matters. But we are finding that they are being mistreated by the very people who are supposed to protect and serve. And we are saying we have been complaining for years about police re-victimization of survivors. But we seem not to be doing anything, all of us. So as these four organizations, we are saying to women, please come forward with your cases so that we can now hold the state to account to say, if as the police you are saying we are here to protect and to save, why are you not doing that? So that is the work in general that POWER does.
And just out of interest, I mean, someone could be listening and they say, you know, what is your turnaround time? Mm-hmm. Let's say here I am, just been abused and obviously gathered the courage to reach out.
Yes.
What is your turnaround time to get to that person?
As quickly as we could, but unfortunately due to resources we can't. We only have one driver, and I said we have 7 working space. So we've got an office in Soweto, in Everton, in Katlehong, in Vosloorus, and in Beria, which is our head office.
Yeah,
so you
yeah.
can imagine, we say we are based in Gauteng, but we're also not reaching the whole of Gauteng.
Yeah.
So that's our turnaround town will depend on if there's a police station that's, or a woman who's calling us and saying, I'm running away now from home, but I'm going to my nearest police station. Yeah. To avoid the issue of we don't have enough cars to take her to POWER, we send our driver there. But whilst our driver perhaps is driving to Moroka police station, there could someone be another woman calling and saying, I mean, Alex, how do you help me? So what we have done is that we've also got a list of other organizations similar to us that are not that well known, but we are able to refer to all of them. So if you are in Alex and our driver is somewhere in Vosloorus, we quickly call an organization in Alexander Adapt and say there's a woman there that needs your assistance. But we don't do that very well because we also have limited resources, and that is why we are coming up with this app to say, how do we coordinate services that are available, how do we integrate services that are available, so that we are able to respond quickly to all the survivors who require the services from us.
What I like about our government, especially the president, is the prioritization of women, children, and abuse and so forth. What are the chances that you could speak to the Minister of Police, Fikile Mbalula, and then what you do is you actually train one police officer within your areas so that the person, when such cases come to the police station, they get priority immediately. Have you ever thought about something like that?
It has been done for quite some time. It has been done. And even currently, we've got specialized police within the police services that are specializing with violence against women and children. But I think they are limited. They are not that many. And tomorrow, when we actually launch the app, the minister is going to be there to talk to some of those things that you are asking me now to say, okay, we do have them. But then how do we upscale to ensure that they are visible and they are available to every survivor in every location where the survivors are?
Because I also know that people who are working for POWER, I mean, if not all of them, it's volunteer work, it's voluntary work. So when you need, when we're looking for resources, what other companies have come on board, like who can say, and when I'm talking about corporate companies, your Discovery, your old mutual insurance companies, medical companies, who maybe as part of their CSI projects, they can actually take a portion of that and invest in something like POWER, for instance. Because I think one of the things that is limiting, even as much as we think it sounds vain, is money.
Yes.
You know, you need, if you've got one driver, that means there's only one car.
Yes.
And if we were to get money, get someone like a Nissan, a Toyota sponsorship or so, then it's easy to get 2, 3, 4, 5 five drivers. Because now, even at the stations, because Beria is close, Alex is close. Oh no, I mustn't sneeze. Pineapple. and then you've got Beria and all of them. But then when we've got issues like people who have issues, I mean, Soweto in itself is the biggest thing ever. I can imagine the driver losing his mind trying to get there, because now is the driver maybe with 2, 3 volunteers that he'll be going with to go check you know, maybe a drop off there, then move over and go somewhere else. Mm. So, but then that must be very, very challenging, you know. So, are there any
corporates that are supporting the cause? They are.
Yeah.
We are currently funded by the Department of Social Development for our social workers and social auxiliary workers.
Yeah.
We have been lucky that we have partnered with Avon, the cosmetic company, since 2009 to date.
Yeah.
They've been funding the work that we do. We've also been funded previously by First for Women insurance.
Yeah.
They funded our second stage house. But since South Africa has been declared a middle income country since 2009, a lot of civil society organizations are struggling for funding. Others are even closing down because now international donors are saying, South Africa, you've got enough money, you can afford to take care of your own. So it is important that private sector, individuals and the government work together to ensure that doors like POWER remain open.
Yeah.
Because the work that we do as an organization is the extension of the work that is supposed to be done by government. Mm. So it's important that we all rally together and ensure that we provide services that give the survivors respect and that treat them with dignity.
Yeah.
Because that is the most important thing for survivors.
I want to talk about the houses, the house, because we've got the 3 to 6 months.
Yes.
And then we've got
the
first stage, yes, 0 to 6, yes, right?
Yes.
And then another one
year.
Is 1 year.
Yes.
How many people roughly do we have in the first stage, and how many do we have in the...
We have two houses, one in the East Rand, one in the West Rand, and at any time we can take 10 women and their children at one house. But you can imagine that is a drop in the ocean.
Yeah.
There's so much that is required. But however, Gauteng is better in that we are able to refer to other shelters.
Yeah.
Mm. The most dire situation is in our provinces, other provinces.
Yeah.
If you ask me how many shelters are in Limpopo, I wouldn't be able to tell you. Mm. If you ask me how many organizations are similar to POWER that are in the Northwest, I wouldn't know. And for us, it's a great need, because the women, POWER is well known, and the women in those provinces call us for services.
Yeah.
And sometimes we are having to say, if you've got transport, get a bus, we'll fetch you at Park Station so that we can take you into our shelter.
Wow.
But you can imagine for those who do not have access to information that they can even call us here in Joburg and we can accommodate them in our shelters. Whereas there should be a shelter where they do live and then where they can be accommodated. Mm. But I think with the app, that's why we are saying government is funding other organizations similar to POWER. How do we bring them together and use the app to ensure that a person is located to a service nearby where she lives? Because you still, even though you are a survivor and you want to get away from the perpetrator, you still need the support of your friends,
and
you
family.
Still and your family.
Yeah.
So also getting out of the province and going somewhere very far can be on its own be stressful for you and also for the kids.
Well, in conversation with Nonhlanhla Mokoena, who is the executive director for POWER, P-O-W-A. And of course, if you want to contribute or also sponsor or pay their salaries for the next 2 years, you can...
That would be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, so let's give them the WhatsApp number there so that, you know, in case we have someone like that. 079-748-2090. That's 079-748-2090. Just quickly take us through what are some of the functions within the app so that at least we give people a crash course on how it works.
The app is going to be launched tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, we want women to have easy access to services.
Mm.
So we want a woman who's got a smartphone, a simple smartphone, to just press a button. And when they press a button, it will link them up to the command center, which is funded by the Department of Social Development.
Mm.
But as the command center assists them telephonically, organizations like POWER should do the follow-up.
Yeah.
Because remember, if you call someone and they tell you and they give you options of how you should address your problem, you need a loving someone tomorrow to call you and say, how are you feeling? Did you manage to go to the police station or to the court? How was the treatment? What do you still need? Can you come to power so you can see a social worker face to face? You need that. You don't. We don't want a situation where survivors just call in, and after calling in, we don't do follow-ups with them. We need to show them love, and we also need to hold their hands so that whatever decision that they take to end this violence, there's someone who's supportive, there's someone who understands the system and can take them through the system. So the app is just a press of a button, and then it links you up to all the services available to you. Because Gauteng, there is Power, there's NISA, there's ADAPT, but then for the past 2 years, Power has been going to Polokwane to have a candlelight for survivors who have lost their lives and for victims who have survived. But we have found that we don't know if there are similar organizations. So we are partnering with the Department of Social Development to say, because you are funding Power in Joburg, who are you funding in Polokwane? So that they are on the list, and at the press of that button, the people in Polokwane can know that, okay, there's no Power, but there's a similar organization that I can go to, and I will get the same service that I would get from Power. So that's why we are saying we are launching the app. At the press of a button, a woman can get assistance wherever they are. And let us look at what is already existing in all our townships, in all our villages, and let's look at it and say, this is what we have currently. How do we beef it up so that it responds adequately? And where there are gaps, how do we plan together to ensure that we close those gaps?
Okay, and about the app as well. I know that obviously at the press of a button, you can, I can basically tell people where I am, and then they can link me.
It will also locate.
It
locates where you are.
In case, you know, you.
There's no time.
There's no time
for dialing.
Yeah, and they can actually follow you.
So once you've clicked the button, it goes to the call center, and the call center has just located you. So because in case you've clicked and the perpetrator is coming, and the perpetrator kills you, so already that button should also alert the police to say, go to this location. This person has just pressed, but when we called, she did not respond.
So one of the challenging thing that you're gonna find with the app is prank calls. And how are you going to educate people? Because someone could say, you understand that the police, the hesitation, if the prank calls increase, then obviously it will kind of like inhibit response time. You know, so how are you going to help people? Or is the app built in such a way that, you know, to eliminate prank calls somehow?
Unfortunately not, because now we are using it as an emergency button for women who are in distress. We are just going to appeal to the community and the public to say, let us use this resource responsibly. And there is that issue, because the current call centers are experiencing a lot of calls where people are just playing. But then at the same time, let us not play with such a dire situation. Violence against women in our country has reached epidemic proportions. So it's important that we take it seriously. And let us not misuse resources that are available to us. I mean, as individuals, let us be responsible. So we are going to go to roadshows, educating people about the importance of the app, about also ensuring that it is used by people who really need it. And but then at the same time, as the police, as social workers, let us take our work very seriously. The fact that, you know, yesterday we got 10 prank calls doesn't mean today when someone presses we don't respond. Because when you don't respond, I would rather we respond all the time so that we eliminate those risks of losing someone because we are angry that someone came yesterday and it was a prank. The same thing that happens, that when survivors go to the police station on a Friday to say they are being abused, and then on Monday they say they want to withdraw a case. I mean, as a social worker myself, and as a policeman, a woman, I am there to serve. You know, and what is my job? I would rather do my job over and over again, because the value is in helping people. The value is not being angry with people for coming and withdrawing their cases. Because remember, abuse is something that happens over a very long time. It takes a woman 10 to 15 years to leave an abusive relationship. Why? Because she wants to see things change. So let us not judge them, but let us show them love. Because at that point in time, when she presses that button, or when she calls Power, or when she goes to the hospital, or when she goes to the police, now she's got the courage to say, I want to do something about it. And when she does that, that is why we have to ensure that she is in a safety net now.
Okay, and Wow. Like so much education. So much education all in one. Also, I would like us to talk about cases that are being dropped or cases that get lost in the between the police and
the system.
They just get lost in the system. Mm-hmm. Besides, even before we even get to people who are being influenced by
family
because Mamang is famous, don't do that. And I know there are others who the family say drop charges because this person can give us money, you know, for your silence. This is how much we are prepared to give you. But now let's talk about someone whose case has been lost in the system. Because I was looking over the weekend, I was checking social media. A lot of people on social media, they were saying, my case just lost in disappeared. The
system. Yes.
I'm still waiting 6 years ago, 8 years ago, 10 years ago. So how are we... how are you working with the police to kind of eliminate that problem? Because I think every time when a case gets lost, then people get despondent. They just feel like, you know what, no one is willing to help me. I might as well just leave it, you know. So how do you encourage the victim to keep pressing? And then how as well are we working with the police to make sure that these cases are like, you know, because sometimes the longer you leave it, evidence goes, the memory goes, a lot of things fall in the cracks, and that's why some of the cases are thrown out.
Firstly, we also encourage survivors to say, you know, after trauma, sometimes you don't feel like going to the police because you are still traumatized. But we encourage survivors to record themselves, to tell a friend, because the first person that you tell after the traumatic event is your first witness. And that person is critical. So if you're thinking at this point in time, I don't want to go to the police station, talk to someone that you trust, and that someone should also take notes or even record you on that day, so that when you are ready now to go to the police, then you use that statement to go to the police, because now you would feel okay and comfortable now to face the system, because the system can also be traumatic to face. Also, once you go to the police station to open a case, make sure you don't leave the police station without a case number, without the name of the person who's investigating your case. Also, know your rights. Once you have your case number, you know the person who's investigating your case, know that you also have a right to from the IO to continuously give you feedback on the investigation. Tell you what they are doing, tell you what they are not doing, and also tell you when your case is ready to go to court. And whilst you are in court, the court also has to consistently tell you what is happening. Because sometimes some survivors end up withdrawing cases because they are not being informed the way they are supposed to be. And it is their right to be informed regularly. But if your matter is lost, as long as you've got the case number and you know who was investigating your case, your matter can be reinstated. I said that on the 9th of August this year, we launched a program called Ending Impunity. So we are calling on all survivors who feel that, you know, their cases have been lost in the system, or they've been re-victimized by the police when they went to police stations to report. We've got lawyers who have volunteered their time to come to power offices and Tswaranang offices on Saturdays. Because remember, the other thing with women is that they are working and they are not able to take time off during the week to actually consult with us at S Power or to consult with attorneys. So we've made Saturdays available for women to come and consult with attorneys who have volunteered their time, because they are saying, we really need to nip this in the bud. We really need to make sure that everybody who's supposed to perform their duties, they perform them with respect and with dignity towards the survivors. So that is the program that we have launched, and it will deal with those cases that have been lost in the system, to find out why and to also reinstate them in the system.
One of the preventative measures or women empowerment I mean, obviously, it's very important that we educate the community about preventative measures. Yes. So what are some of the programs that you proactively do, you know, workshops, seminars, and so forth, that people can attend? And I think maybe while we are still on that, maybe you can tell our listeners where some of the programs, when and where, so that they can attend.
Yeah. Research indicates that it's difficult to change an adult's mindset and attitude. But it is much easier to work with young people and change their behavior and also their mindsets.
Right.
We've got programs in schools.
Yeah.
There's a program called Teens Alliance to end sexual violence, especially in schools. Yeah. Even though the program focuses on sexual violence, but it also focuses on attitudes and behavior. And we are working with young men and young women in schools. In schools, currently we've got funding for schools in Tembisa, which is about 10 schools in Tembisa and 2 schools in Sidibeng area. Yeah. But we are looking at issues of respect, issues of humanity. We need to be raising young men and young women as equals. They should see each other as human beings. The other sex should not see itself as privileged and powerful, and whilst we are teaching the other sex to be submissive and to be timid. They should see each other as equals from a very young age. But in that project, we are not only working with the kids, because we realize that whatever that you teach at school has to be also taught at home. So we also working with the parents of those young men and women of the learners to say, whilst we are teaching them that abuse is wrong, this is how they should respect each other and treat each other. Let them go back home to a home where the mom and the dad are also teaching equality and respect. So that whatever that is taught at school and at home, it speaks to each other, because there is no point in teaching a child that abuse is wrong when they go home, abuse is done. So that is another way of dealing with this issue, to say let us teach equality from a very young age. Because when we talk about things and we say our constitution enshrines equality, you know, for someone who grew up in a family where they know that I was a boy and I was not doing certain things because I'm a boy, or I was treated a certain way because I'm a boy, it's difficult to change that mindset. Only a few. But the other thing we are saying, we are calling on all the good men who do not abuse, who respect women. Whenever their colleagues are disrespecting and abusing men, they should call each other out. Because there's no point in you keeping quiet when your colleagues and your friends are abusing people, and you are keeping quiet, but you are not an abuser. You know, which, because you're keeping quiet, it means you are condoning what is happening, and you are saying it's okay. But the good men, let them come to the front and say, you cannot do this in my name. And they let them not march only. They can contribute to such causes in terms of money, but they can also stand up in public and saying, I'm not an abuser, and I have a friend who's an abuser, and I've called him out. Yeah. I no longer socialize with that type of person.
Yeah. And that leads to my next question, because I was actually typing that out. With the counselors that we have, the lawyers, the psychologists, the social workers, do we have any men actively involved in power? Even though we say we're talking about a feminist organization, because I just want to people to understand that it is not just a women's organization trying to fight. We've got men in the organizations who are working together with you guys to help with the issue of abuse.
And firstly, to say feminism is not about hating men.
Exactly.
It's about equality between men and women, and it's about promoting that. It's not about hating men.
Yeah.
For instance, we have our driver who's a male.
Yeah.
We have our caretakers, but we don't have counselors who are male, because if you have been raped and if you have been abused by a man, most of the time survivors don't feel comfortable to be counseled by men.
Correct.
But we do take volunteers who would help us in any way, and they are male. It's just that for the counseling side, we respect the survivor's wishes.
Yeah.
But when, for instance, we go to court and this particular survivor does not have support from family, the men in the communities where we have our offices, they are the ones who come with us to court.
Yeah.
Our shelters, one of our shelters is in a community, and we don't have have private security. The security is our neighbors who are men, who know that this is a place of safety. And when they see someone outside the shelter, they actually go out there and say, how are you? What do you want here? And you'd have to tell them what you want there.
Yeah.
So we rely on them for safety. So you can see that there are good men out there who are helping the organization and who are saying, you are not going to this in our name. So there are good men out there, but most of them are not speaking out, especially those who are well known, those that the young people are looking up to. So we need those ones to be talking, but there are good men, like I say, who are protecting our shelter in the East Rand. We rely on them.
You go first.
Okay. No, I insist. I insist.
Oh yeah, well, you'll insist because it was a follow-up question. Let me quickly follow up. What you're saying, like sometimes the victims, if someone has been raped, for instance, and it's they haven't been beaten up, it's more like rape.
Yes.
So obviously it will be very uncomfortable for women to
for a female
to talk to a male counselor. Mm-hmm. But also, I'm now trying to see if we can put a little bit of a twist, because now we also have young boys who are raped by men.
Yes.
Okay. And now you find that now, as much as they're, you know, how do you deal with that? Do they also talk to female counselors or do they, are they, because I'm trying to see, can't we have a bridge of male, very good counselors. Male counselors, even when you walk in, whether you're a man or a woman, a girl or a boy, you can actually look up and say, you see that guy? I think it's someone I can actually talk to.
We do have such. On the program, Ending Sexual Violence in Schools, we don't only work with girls.
Yeah.
Because in a school, there are girls and boys.
Yeah.
And you want them to coexist, to have programs together.
Yeah.
But they must also respect one another.
Yeah.
So we do have male counselors, and the boys prefer to actually go to a male social worker, not a female social worker.
Yeah.
And the girl prefers to go to a female social worker, not a male social worker.
Yeah.
So we do have, but we don't have enough of male social workers. Mm. So we work with an organization called ADAPT, and the boys in those schools who have been violated sexually actually prefer to a male social worker. We are lucky that this organization has got male social workers, and they do work with them. But yes, the majority of the people who are being abused are the girl children and the women. But we also understand that survivors need to be given a choice.
Yeah.
And as other survivors, even when they go to a police station and a police person has to take a statement, they don't mind if it's a man. But others will insist, no, I don't want to speak to a man. I want to speak to a woman. So when they are requesting, we need to give them that choice, because they are the leaders in the trauma that they've just experienced. So there is that option.
Yeah.
One of the aggressive ways that I've seen you involved in, you know, jumping on to incidences, for example, one of them being a municipality that says only girl virgins will get bursaries. How do you work around those kind of issues as an organization?
That's the advocacy that we do, because if we are talking equality, and if equality is enshrined in our constitution, who are the people who should actually make this constitution a reality? Is our government. So can you imagine a municipality that discriminates when in our constitution it says we are equal, but then in order for people to access a bursary, you say girls will get tested. What about the boys? What are you saying? Is the responsibility of delaying sex the responsibility only of a girl child? What about the boy who slept with the girl, so now she's no longer a virgin? What if it's two people who are in the same program, but the other one is no longer a virgin, but the other one is also no longer a virgin, but they can continue with their studies? It also promotes a situation where girls are dropping out of school and girls are being barred from opportunities. So we do advocacy so that we can educate the very same people who were part of even drafting our constitution, who are now going against that constitution.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the constitution says equality.
But equality means something else.
If there's a criteria to say you need certain marks to get this particular bursary, whether you are a girl or a boy, whether you are a virgin or not, let the criteria apply to everybody else. Yeah. So we advocate for the rights of every girl so that they also get opportunities, they don't drop out of school. The reason the education system says even if a girl child is pregnant, let her not drop out of school, because chances are if she gets, she passes her matric certificate, she will go on to university, she will go on to be a better person. Yeah. But if you say she must stop her education because she's pregnant, what about the person who made her pregnant because she did not make herself pregnant?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Another another social observation, and I think also you kind of like went headstrong on that one, is, you know, our male artists, you know, getting girls on stage and they are, you know, performing this, you know, risky moves and tapping them and stuff like that. And generally, because it's entertainment, people wouldn't necessarily see where the problem is. And also talking, if you can kind of like touch on body shaming as well. So, for example, as a guy, I see like, I'm like, yeah, no, you are not my type. Where are the problems in such situations?
Irresponsible entertainment is a problem. We want to be entertained, but we also have to respect the laws of the country. Especially if you are someone that young people are looking up to, and you are also someone that parents are trusting you because you are a musician. Obviously, they like your music. So you have to be a responsible person. When you ask young people who are all minors to come and gyrate on stage with you when you are an adult, that is irresponsible behavior. Because if you are a father, you are a musician and you are a father, would you want your 10-year-old to be gyrating with another musician on stage? What are you saying about that child? Because remember, children will also volunteer to do that because for them they love this musician. They want to be a musician and it's a dance. But then who is the adult? Adults should know better, and adults should know when to say yes or no, you know, and rather take people who are adults and people that you would say, I've asked for permission and they agreed. But then at the same time, why are the good men looking at a woman's body just as an object for sex? Why? Because that is actually saying this body is just made for sex, so I can just use it whichever way I want. I can use it to sell my records. I can use it to sell my car. You know, previously you'd see just a naked woman standing in front of a car to just sell that car. Whereas a car is a car. If you love it, you'll buy it, whether there's a woman standing there or not.
Music videos.
Those are the things that, you know, music videos. Sometimes we don't even listen to the lyrics.
Because
you know, it's just the music and we're going along. But when you sit and listen and you're thinking, like, but no, man, I shouldn't actually be liking this, you know. But those are the things that we should continuously talk about so that we educate one another. I mean, there can be entertainment with respect and also with dignity. Because when we don't see each other as equals, when we don't see each other as human beings, that is why it becomes easier to kill a woman. Because perhaps you don't see her as another human being.
That is true.
You know, it becomes easier for you to say, if she doesn't toe my line, I have the power and I can kill her. The other thing is that if there are no consequences to behavior, if you hit someone, if you rape them, if you kill them, and we don't apply the minimum sentencing of the laws that we have in the country, then the people who are doing it will continue doing it because they know there are no consequences. I can get away with it. If I beat her up, I'm going to get a 300 rands fine. If I beat her up, I'm going to get a 5,000 rands bail. And what is 500 rands? 5,000 rands if I'm earning perhaps triple or fourfold more. So what does that mean? A woman's life doesn't matter. A woman's life is cheap.
In conversation with Ausnon Tlandla Mokoena, who is the executive director for Power, she's been just giving us serious wisdom nuggets here in studio. And and we're going to be, the show obviously will be podcast. If you missed some of it, please get it. Tomorrow we are launching a new gender-based violence app that is going to help us in Gauteng and in the rest of the country to, you know, to get responsive response quickly and speedily for people and for women who are being abused, you know, because a lot of people have been displaced, a lot of people have been misplaced, people are running away from abusive partners and they need all the help and all the support we need, and we're doing anything and everything possible to help eliminate that. And one would actually say, because we now we're supposed to go in like a few minutes, but someone would say, what if I don't have a smart app? What are the other ways and other means of getting hold of power, and what are the you know, besides also going to your nearest police station? And we spoke quickly. I'm asking you 10 questions all in one, and I know we've got shelters that you guys have, but then do we even have people who are volunteering, like for getting the churches involved, for instance? Someone can know, or I can go stay at Pastor Romeo Mabasa's house. Hallelujah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you know, but those kind of things. Just in closing, can you just quickly give us a few ways of getting hold of help?
They can call us at 011-642-4345 and we'll be able to link them up with an organization closest to them or a shelter. So always there's someone at reception. If we are close, there's also a number that we give out where you can get assistance even after hours. We also have two centers, one at Tembisa Hospital and also one at Baragwanath Hospital, which is a 24-hour care for survivors of sexual violence in a partnership with the Department of Health and NPA and us as Power, providing those 24-hour services within the hospitals. So if you are at Tembisa Hospital and you are in a crisis, especially sexual violence, ask for Masakane Clinic. And then if you are in Baragwan, around Bara, ask for Ntabiseng Support Center. You will get assistance there.
Thank you so much. That is absolutely brilliant. One last question that is completely, I don't know. Tell me, what happens when someone has done all that they can do, been to through counseling, they've come, they stayed at the shelter, and after you have done everything, they wake up one day, they say, I am going back.
It is still fine. You know why? It happens that we have done counseling. They now have a job. You know, they are now independent from this person, but they still say, I love him. And I think this time away from him has given me time to look at my relationship and our relationship, and I'm going back. We always say, if you want to go back, go back. But you know now your rights and you also know what you have to do. And let me tell you, most of the time, after 2 or 3 months, those women call us and say, I was going to try. I was hoping that things have changed and I've tried my best, and now I am certain that he's not changing and I am out of it forever. So it is fine. Let us not judge women who go back, but let us support them continuously. So
because I believe you know, empowerment or coaching is the ability to help someone to take the truth for themselves and apply it in their own lives. So I think that's very powerful. I love the question. Why did you leave that question to
because
to like really?
No, because okay. And then one last one. Now we talk about, because we're dealing with victims and now about perpetrators as well. I know there are a couple of organizations that men are trying to bring about to help guys. I remember Patrick Shai. There's also Brothers for Life.
Songke Justice.
You know, they're all trying to do that. And I'm hoping that they're also working together with Power, hand in hand, so that while the victim is going for counseling, the perpetrator as well can be roped in to come for counseling as well, because it's not just only about you as the victim, it's also about your children, because they're secondary victims as well. So, and it has a ripple effect all the way down. But we appreciate your time. I can't believe it goes so fast. We appreciate your time. We hope you're gonna come back when the app is up and running. We can never talk more about it. Like, there's so much to talk about. We can never say anything enough. We can never stop talking about it. We hope you'll come back soon and we'll have a follow-up conversation and how the app is doing and all of that, and all those other people that you want to come on board. You know, famous people, people who've got voices, people who are working in the communities, our churches, our pastors, people on social medias, and all of them need to come through and just get this ball rolling so that we can live in a better world. I think it is completely ridiculous ridiculous right now at the rate that the violence is going. I mean, I was reading someone else has just been found just this morning, a 24-year-old burned to death by her boyfriend, and someone actually tweeted like, no, same story, just different characters, you know. So we also need to reignite
this
the spirit
is abnormal
of the,
it is abnormal. We are normalizing it.
We're starting to become numb, and we need to go back and say, this is not how we do it. But thank you so much for all that you do. We wish you the best. And whenever we can, we are coming. And the event tomorrow, I'm going to be there.
Please,
we're going to
have
fun. Maromza, maybe you should come. I don't know if you'll be able to.
What do you mean? I'm family. I'm going.
Okay, fine. We're all going to be there.
Yes.
And we're going to have absolute fun trying to get the country working
together,
again, working
to
together
end violence
again,
against
to end
women
violence
and
against
girls
women.
And children.
Ladies and gentlemen, that has been Be Lighted with
Adios,
Rami on Radio this Monday.
Week.
Have a beautiful week. We'll see you next week, Monday, and we continue talking about women issues this whole month of August. Have a beautiful, beautiful week ahead. Be Lighted. Bye.
This is CliffCentral.com.